Yeah, good morning, Tom. How are you doing today?
Doing great, doing great. We've got this little problem here with the rioters and looters. And from your perspective, what are you making of this? I'm hearing that some of this might be orchestrated from afar.
Yeah, you know, it's quite tragic. You know what? I am a huge supporter, as I know your listeners are, in the First Amendment rights of our citizens of this great country, with what our veterans and our current military men and women fight for every single day. It's what's made us special throughout our history. And right to, you know, show our grievances with our government, or express our feelings. And yet now we have some bad actors coming in and breaking down, you know, breaking down those barriers and that trust level. And it's really unfortunate. You know, you have a lot of people that are coming in. This is by accounts of folks that are doing the peaceful organizing and really sending a bad message across the country. And, you know, the president's getting involved and, you know, the governors are getting involved. So, you know, this has got to be shut down and just get back to peaceful protests. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. And that's what we're all about.
Well, I have to say there's not a whole lot of social distancing going on.
No, you know, I did notice, and some of the folks did, you know, the ones that you saw, the Black Lives Matter, that's part of their get up before their, you know, I guess for all intents and purposes, their costumes before they, you know, COVID-19 came about. So, you know, again, I think the governors, the president, the mayors are going to get involved, get this taken care of, you know, sooner rather than later. This going out onto the interstate system, you know, 3-lane highways, 4-lane highways, and stopping traffic. I'm surprised so far that no one has been, you know, badly hurt. But it's, you know, last night it escalated into shooting in St. Louis, and there's going to be deaths start coming from this as the tensions get higher and people become less tolerant of the violent protests.
Do you have any concerns that these protests are kind of setting things back on COVID-19? I mean, we were just had the big new phase here, at least in Oklahoma, to reopen a little bit more. And we've got some of these folks who, some of them haven't had their businesses open quite yet, and yet they're being treated to all this vandalism.
Yes, and, you know, it's a setback in the fact that, you know, so many in Tulsa area, the first district, northeast Oklahoma, the rest of Oklahoma and the country, we're seeing a lot of folks that are doing a great job of, you know, just proper hygiene, proper separation, physical separation. Businesses are doing a great job of you know, proper opening. At the restaurants, you're doing a great job. I know we've all been out. We've seen the social distancing that the restaurant industry has put into place and others. And now then we have people who really have total disregard for that are, you know, have the possibility of infecting people. That's one piece of it. To your point, you've been distressed with cash flows and revenues and also people just getting out, feeling safe to get out. So you have a threat on the demand side to people coming out and actually wanting to get involved late, you know, in the afternoon after work, because we're having these early curfews now. But you're also seeing people, you know, that, you know, in a lot of places, and certainly in the first district, we had flooding last year. Now they had flooding last year. They're recovering from that. Now this year we have COVID-19 that shuts us down for 10 or 11 weeks. And right on the heels of that, we have these protests. So It's very difficult. It's always difficult to be in business. And these added burdens, just, you know, there'll be some that just throw up their hands and say, I'm done. This is just not going to work out. And that's not what we need. We need to, again, get control of this quickly and get this behind us.
We're speaking with Congressman Kevin Hearn. Your Facebook page was the first I learned of Tulsa Tesla, Tesla Tulsa. How's that working out so far? We making any progress?
Well, you know, it's... I know Elon Musk, like so many other business people in California, are absolutely frustrated with what's going on with California politics, tax policies, just the complete disregard for people who have to create jobs and put Americans to work. And, you know, he made a point back early in the year that he was going to move out of California, and he was seeking, you know, to move his business to various cities around the country. And Tulsa and Austin became the two primary locations. And so there's sort of this, you know, I know this is hard for everyone to imagine, but we have this little Red River rivalry going on right now about who's going to get Tesla. There are some benefits in Texas with no income tax, no state income tax, and so that's something we have to battle with. But clearly, what Elon Musk has done has been a pioneer in making automobiles. Science, technology, engineering, math, otherwise known as STEM. He's been just a leader in this. He's a true pioneer, which is sort of just coincides with our history in this state. And we would love to have him here, and we're doing everything we can from all fronts, all touch points we can. You know, just obviously most people know him you know, from Tesla, but he also just is the visionary, the pioneer behind SpaceX. It just launched our American astronauts from American soil and American rockets designed by SpaceX. And they've had numerous launches over the last 7 or 8 years. So, you know, this is the kind of people that we're looking for to create, help us create jobs in Tulsa, Tulsa area, in Northeast Oklahoma, and across the state. So we're working hard, and we'll see what comes of this.
Also, I noticed that on some of your social media, you've got a questionnaire that's out there. Can you talk about that a little bit?
You know, we're just looking for, I think what you're referencing to is we're just looking for topics, interests of folks, trying to get, you know, what matters most to Oklahomans. We have a lot of viewers on our Facebook page from across the state. And we're trying to get what matters to our people so that we can make sure we're talking to that. Because, again, the very nature of what you do is represent the interests and points of view of the folks that put you in office. So we reach out, you know, whether it's on immigration or whether it's on economics and jobs or whether it's on health care. We're trying to find the level of interest. You know, there's obviously conversations, and most of all the polling are done by national news media that we see. You know, and obviously right now we're in the throes of a election season, so we're trying to make sure we do this periodically through the year, regardless if it's the election year or not, just to make sure that we're on point and on target to represent the people of the district.
And with all of these things that have been taking place, it kind of puts what's going on in Washington or with those who work in Washington a little bit on the back burner legislatively. What's going on? What are we missed?
Well, we're still working on a lot of things. You're right. One of my colleagues from Pennsylvania asked if Congress had been deemed non-essential because Nancy Pelosi has not allowed us to work more than 5 days since March 11th. So that's very frustrating. There's a lot of work to do. You know, here's what the consensus is. You know, the political consensus is that, you know, on the Democrat side is that President Trump has caused all of the COVID-19 disaster. The reality is those with the common sense to look and actually take the politics out of it knows this started in China. We've done a lot of work in pointing that out. We have another bill that will be coming out here very soon that I think people are going to be have their eyes wide opened to see what's going on around our university systems, potentially in some of the research areas as it relates to China. But also how we get less dependent upon Chinese products. You know, we talk about our ibuprofens, their antibiotics coming from China. We've got to get less dependent on that. We saw the PPE issue coming from China. We've got to get more of that reestablished here in Americas, whether it be in Canada, United States, or Mexico. We've got to get that brought back to us, closer to those who we can work with closely without fear of stealing our technology. There's just a whole host of things that we need to be talking about in Washington, D.C., that because we're not meeting, we don't have time to go through a proper regular order through our committees to do this. And so right now we have our calendar that we're not going back into the office in D.C. until June 30th to do legislative work. And we've got 3 weeks in July. We'll be off for August recess. Again, we need to be spending our time in D.C., get some of our things off the plate. But what I'm learning in my first term in Congress is that when you're in election year in the House of Representatives, there's not much else goes on except trying to attack the President of the United States.
Wow. Wow. Hey, just a couple of things. First of all, I got a real good idea for a place to resettle some of these pharmaceutical places. A place called Oklahoma would just be nice if we could just court that business here.
Well, I tell you, that's interesting you say that, because there are a lot of states right now that are looking at the opportunities. There will be the federal government's looking at tax credits. President Trump has talked about that. Are there some way to incentivize through tax program to get people to move back? You know, one of the things that will be concerning as we look at driving down costs in America, we as consumers have driven a lot of this work and these products out of our country because the most expensive part of those drugs, what you get beyond the research part, are the mass production of those. So, you know, we've got to look at the reality of if we bring things back from China and bring it back to the United States just because of the demand side and what will happen and the wages associated with that demand, the prices are going to be higher, which is contradictory to what we've been trying to go with pharmaceuticals. So we've got a whole host of thoughts and ideas how we're going to have to get around that and get the consumers to wake up. You know, this kind of goes back into the 80s and 90s with Sam Walton when he talked about Buy America. Mm-hmm. That worked well for us in our patriotic time frame, but as we became sort of distant from that particular event that happened in America, we became more focused on driving up price. So we're going to have to look at how we're going to drive down pricing and still bring back these dependencies that we have on China right now. And, you know, we talk about China. When something is very important to us in Oklahoma, China has to live up to its agreement in phase one that yes. they signed back in February with the president. And that was, you know, billions, you know, upwards of $50 billion in agricultural products, which has a direct impact on Oklahoma, but also their purchase of refined energy, fossil fuels from America, and the gasolines that have come out of our refineries. This would help fix a lot of our issues we're having. You know, we only have like 13 wells running in Oklahoma right now, down from, you know, well over 100 from just a year ago, which creates a real problem for us because we receive a significant portion of our budget here in Oklahoma. It's from the gross production tax. And if you don't have wells producing oil or gas, there is no gross production tax. So this has a compounding effect, what's going on with China right now, not just with our overall national security, but also our economic security as we go forward. So if they're going to be an economic global power, and they want to play nicely, then they have to kind of conform to what the global economy is, and China's not doing it. I just saw this morning that China is the only country in the world that has now got a positive growth pattern in their manufacturing. And, you know, they have shut out a lot of individual countries around the world from their products so that they could hold them hostage to get Huawei and 5G in. So there's a lot of things going on, so geopolitically, and we've got to be real concerned about that.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, sir?
No, I just really want to say thank you to the Oklahomans that have been out there working hard to get us back open, our leadership in the state, our cities, municipalities. I know it's been very devastating to so many families across the state, certainly across the country, but we also know is we can do both. We don't have to be binary where we're either open or closed. We can do both. We're seeing that. We're doing a really great job in Oklahoma of seeing a diminishing number of active cases. I think we're around under 700 now in the entire state, and that's really a positive move. And so just want to say thank you to all the Oklahomans, and I wish everyone a great summer.